You heard. You coming.
Sanders from the pocket delivers to the end zone, and it's a leaping touchdown caught by Travis Hunter.
To the line here, fakes it, throws into the end zone. Weaver, touchdown!
Some extra power from McCaskill pushes him across the plane to the goal line. Touchdown.
Colorado blocks the punt. It's a scoop and a score for CU. Trevor Woods.
Mikey fucking Harrison.
I didn't know that's how you were going to start this, but I like it. I like it. It's as good of a thing to start it with as anyone else.
Michael, I mean,
unless you're
going to
be like,
man.
Shador fucking Sanders. Either way, it's
either one works because those, I mean, those two put the literal team on their back for the last 7 minutes of regulation plus overtime. And it was a thing of beauty.
Oh, yeah, it was. I wanted to go back to Saturday because we were texting each other throughout this whole game.
Mm-hmm. Per usual.
As per usual. It was getting heated, we'll say. Not between us, but like our energies. I feel like we're just kind of coming together to create what I can only describe as a black hole of like buff shit and horribleness.
I mean, anger.
I mean, I told you this is the final boss of buff shit is the backup quarterback who comes out and looks like I'm not going to say awesome, but he played pretty well, all things considered. He did end up with 3 picks, but like he played pretty well.
I would say for a CSU backup quarterback or a CSU quarterback in general, outside of Bradley Van Pelt, he did look awesome. I mean, he had those 3 picks that were two of them were bad throws.
He's definitely their starter for the rest of the year.
I don't know what that douche Jay Norvell and his staff saw in fall camp that made them think, we're not going to go with Fowler.
Well, okay. So two answers to that. Number one, Clay Millen was like a 4-star recruit, I think, out of high school. And I believe he came with Norvell from Nevada, maybe. I forget.
That actually does sound like it could be right.
But I think he followed Norvell. Norvell was the reason he was there. So he was going to get a long run. So he got all of last year and at least a game of this year. He basically was like, okay, he still sucks. Put in a new guy. And the new guy was good. The second part of that is it could be in true CU fashion that this guy comes back in their other games and plays like absolute shit, because that's also been a thing that CU has done where the guy is great against CU and then never good against anyone else. So I'm also prepared for that possibility. But anyway, what I wanted to take us back to is we were texting each other and saying things like, I think I texted you at halftime and said, okay, we got to score a touchdown on the first drive. And you were like, oh, yeah, if we don't score on the first one or two, I'm going to be super concerned. And I said, oh, I'm concerned. And then there's a pause where clearly we're watching the game. And then the next text is from me, and it says, we're dead.
So, we're dead.
And look, I'm not proud of it. Coach Prime, if somehow, some way you ever listen to this, I know you won't, but if somehow, some way you ever listen to this, I was weak. And it was created by my history of buff fandom. I was saying things like, they're going to beat us by 24. I might not even watch the end of the game. I said some things about Jimmy.
That was my personal favorite. I think you got to share that one.
I believe I called him Katie Nixon, which is like almost a CU deep cut at this point, but basically just was trying to say like lots of hype and then has the dropsies and doesn't seem to show up like when they need him to most. quickly was proven wrong. I will be the first to say quickly was proven wrong.
I will come to your defense, though. He does have the dropsies a little bit.
At least a little bit. In this game, he had it early. He had two in particular that I can remember that were bad. And he's dropped at least one in both of our other two games. But he's also caught a game-tying touchdown that he absolutely juked that shitbag safeties. Right out of his shoes. That you might want to pause on that one. but I knew what you meant. I was talking about Henry Blackburn, just so everybody is clear on that one. And you might just want to go with bitch burn from now on instead of the other way around, because you're gonna get in trouble. Juked him out of his shoes and scored a touchdown, so quickly made up for any problems that they had before. I don't know. Speaking of these guys, do you want to just like get into what do you want to start with? You want to start with positives from the game, players who obviously you were happy with, anyone you weren't happy with, so on and so forth. What do you want to do?
Okay, I'm going to start where I think last week we both were kind of like, it's not that big of an issue. I have changed my tune.
Okay.
The running game is an issue. It is an issue, and I don't think McCaskill solves it entirely. Do I think he improves it? Absolutely. I think there are plenty of times where Dylan Edwards would get a handoff that he would be, you know, in between the tackles, and he just can't right now. And I don't know, maybe he will never be able to. Maybe he will. But he just can't hit the hole at the right time between the tackles. And I honestly think it might be because he's too fast for his own good.
He does do that sometimes. And he does outrun his blockers sometimes. Yeah.
So I think McCaskill improves that, but man, I went back and when I was watching how the line played, because I've never been such a line focused person until this year, but you have to give credit to I'm going to say his name wrong. The backup center,
Hank Zielinskis.
I was going to say Zielinskis. He actually did well in pass pro. I didn't see too much coming up the center on him, unless I'm missing.
Yeah. No, I mean, credit to Hank. He's a true freshman who basically just got thrown into playing center. Okay. Yeah. So like that doesn't really, other than Van Wells, I guess, last year, because he was a true freshman last year, right? He's a sophomore this year. And he played pretty well, all things considered. I mean, they were getting killed everywhere else, but like he seemed to handle it well. But it's not an easy job to do. I think you're right. I think for the most part, I thought he actually did okay. They seemed like they were doing a lot of stuff where he wasn't alone on a defender very often. Because I did see there were a few times where like he would be alone on a D lineman or on a linebacker who was blitzing from the second level, and he got blown up a couple of times. Like he got pushed around pretty good. And you know, when you're an offensive lineman, like that's just how it's gonna go, as far as you're gonna, especially, I mean, Shadur, he had 47 pass attempts in this game, and that doesn't include the sacks that he took as far as dropbacks.
Yeah.
So, like, if your quarterback drops back 50 times, you're going to look bad on a handful of plays most of the time, unless you're, like, truly one of the elite offensive linemen.
Right.
I thought Hank played pretty well in pass protection. Run blocking, it seemed like he got blown up a couple of times.
Run blocking was a huge, I mean, I hate to, like, single out one guy, because in general, the O-line has been, like, you know, mid.
Well, the center, if you're going between the tackles, the center is like the guy who's got to make it happen, you know? And so if he goes back even 3 feet instead of pushing forward, like it kind of blows the whole thing up.
It does. And like you said, he did well for getting like thrown into the action early. And I mean, for the most part in college, you are not starting as an O lineman as a true freshman unless you're like one of those top prospects.
Right. Right.
Just because you have to, I mean, sometimes you aren't fully grown into the body you have. You might be just slightly underweight. The technique maybe isn't quite there because you were just kind of dominating on pure talent and athleticism. There are a lot of reasons, but O-line specifically is just that it's probably the hardest position to come in and start as a true freshman in college. But
instead of quarterback, maybe.
Just
depends on the system you're into, yeah. Though, because they do make it really easy for some guys. But yeah.
And
size wise, like as an offensive lineman, I don't feel like you really get built up until you're
right.
An upperclassman. Yeah.
Yeah. But man, when I watch, like, because we got to remember, yes, that was, as many people like to say, CSU Super Bowl. I mean, they will not be up for a game like they were for that game again all season. I don't think they pushed that line around. And in my head, all I could think of was, how different does this look if Tyler Brown doesn't get screwed by the NCAA
mm-hmm.
and Van Wells isn't hurt right now?
Yes.
And I think that the difference is like eye-opening in my
head, I mean, is what I think. That's two interior guys. Like,
yeah.
I don't think that's a coincidence that we lost two interior linemen, and that was where we were having the most trouble all game long, was getting beat inside. That's the other thing I was going to say too. Kamara or whatever that lineman's name is.
Yeah.
He's an NFL player.
He is. Like, yeah, yeah.
I did not do enough research on them to really figure that out. He's legit. Like he did some stuff. Like he got tank once or twice where I was like, oh shit, he's like actually good. I mean,
right.
Cause you know, I mean, tank, like that guy is pretty highly graded by PFF, which like that's not PFF is not the end all be all, but like he's been one of the highest graded tackles through three games in the conference.
Yeah.
And he got straight up, like he got beat on a couple, maybe two rushes.
I think it was Kamara. Two. And yeah, yeah, he just, and it,
yeah. And to his credit, like, you know, they're pretty much, especially with a true freshman center starting his first game ever, like they told Tank, like, you're going to be alone. You could tell, like, he was solo blocking pretty much every drop back in pass protection. So he didn't get any help, is all I'm going to say.
He's still graded out pass blocking wise is an 84.2.
Yeah. Like he's still a good player.
Yeah. I think that's more of a testament to, I think PFF does, if I'm not mistaken, it does take into account the opposition.
I'm not sure, to be honest. Okay. But I do think they factor in like the quality of the reps for sure. So
yeah,
I mean, they know which guys are real talented and which ones aren't. And really, like, if he got beat twice, I mean, how many times did he drop
two back? Out of 50 some,
you know? Yeah, right, exactly. So
not bad.
No, he did pretty well. The one thing I want to say about the running game, and I know a lot of people are freaking out about it right now, and understandably so. Like, it hasn't been perfect. Dylan ended that game 10 for 57 yards on the ground, which is like a 5.7 average. And yep, most of it was what we were saying, where it would be like 1 or 2 yards or 10 plus yards. Like, that exactly what we were talking about last week. My only thing is, I looked through this game, we didn't call two run plays back to back until late in the third quarter when we were trying to score in a goal to go situation.
Yeah.
We didn't call two run plays back to back. And that's like, and I understand if, you know, the first one goes for 1 yard or it goes for 0 yards, whatever. Dylan had two runs where he got a first down on a first down run play, and they didn't run it again either time. They went with a short pass, like horizontally, CSU was just sitting on those waiting for him. And so they were blowing him up every time, it seemed like, especially in the beginning. And I just, for me, I get it. Like, I know people are saying, like, Dylan's not an every down back, which he's not, but he's the best option we have right now. Like, yeah. I mean, all due respect to Hankerson and Savion Wilkerson, they're just not as good. Like, they don't have the elite traits that he has. And I just wish, especially since CSU was playing so light inside because they were just like, they're not going to be able to run the ball. So they just were basically daring us to run it for large portions of this game. I just wish that if Dylan went for 10 yards, they were like, maybe we should run it with Dylan again and just see if he gets it again, you know? And if you do that a couple of times and he has, even if it's not 10 yards, it's 4 yards, 5 yards, like they're going to have to start to respect it a little more. And then those wide receiver screens will go for yardage instead of having four guys converge on you instantaneously as you tackle it. But, you know, I mean, I can't complain too much about the play calling through three games. Like, Sean Lewis is obviously smarter than I am when it comes to football and offense. But I do just think they kind of gate, like, if you have a successful run play, maybe run it again another time against CSU. You know,
yeah.
Maybe try it one more time. Is my only critique. It's my only pushback on the running game.
Oh, I was gonna say on the running game because, yeah, I agree. Sean Lewis is definitely smarter than us, but I think everybody can see that red zone play calling is an issue.
Well, it's harder when you don't feel like you can run the ball for 2 yards.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it does make it a lot harder.
That's the issue. That is why I think it could be a big deal to get Alton.
He will get 2 or 3 yards.
Yes, that and pass protection, I think, are two big reasons why it would be a big deal to get Alton, because he is huge. I don't know if you've like seen, he hasn't really been in the well off or the reach the people media videos too much, and I think that's on purpose. Like, I haven't seen him at all except for all of a sudden he'll like show up in a huddle with no gold jersey on and today, you're like, right? Oh, that's number 22, that's him, or
yesterday.
And he looks like a monster, especially compared to the other running backs. He is a giant, and like Wilkerson is like thick, you know, but he is huge. So I do actually think his ability to block occasionally will be helpful, as weird as that is to say about a running back. But I just think, like, I love Dylan and I think he's an electric player, but when he has to pass block, like, his best bet is to just kind of try to cut a guy down, and that only works for a couple seconds, you know.
And people, and they start to figure it out.
Yeah, they, right.
So I noticed it later in the game when he would go for the cut, and the guy would just slow up right at the last second so that he wouldn't get hit, and then he'd be around Dylan. McCaskill, man, he is one of those guys where you just like, you see him and you're like, oh, he's different.
Right. Exactly. He's giant. Yeah. Like he's like, looks different. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. I hope you're right that, and I think you are right. Like, he will be able to get those 2 to 3 yards. My main concern though is just like, 2 to 3 yards is fine in like goal line situations. It's not fine when you're trying to march down the field.
For sure.
But it's, I don't know, man.
We're going to see, man. We're going to see.
Yeah. Because Oregon's D-line ain't half bad.
Yeah. No, so it's true.
We'll kind of see how things go with that. But so the other thing that really pissed me off was, I think the thing that pissed off every other person watching this game, Even the people that probably didn't have any skin in the game, it was those goddamn under routes, the crossing routes. My God, was that horrendous. And there's kind of a few different ways to look at it. You can cover that with both man and zone. It's typically better against man, because it's just hard to get on somebody when they're crossing right in front of you at 3 yards up past the line of scrimmage. When we played man, we got smoked. When we played zone, it looked like we weren't in cover three. So we don't have somebody covering that under across the, like, once they get across the hash to the other side. So I don't know what happened during halftime. Like, I'm sure Charles Kelly is not stupid. I'm sure he saw that and he was like, okay, we got to fix this. But I saw us one time, from what I can remember, I saw us actually jam somebody at the line and it disrupted the flow. I think he got 2 yards on the under route. I didn't see it again. And if I did, I missed it. Or if it happened again, I missed it. And so we're going to see crossing routes all day long against Oregon this weekend. The question is, did we figure out a way to solve it? Because the corners covering across that were not doing a good job. I saw Omarion Cooper, who has been solid through two games. He got burned on those quite a few times. And there were some times where I was like, he's 10 yards behind this guy by the time he catches the ball.
Yeah, so I think part of it was everything with Torrey Horton, who was number 14. He's, again, another guy who is probably an NFL.
He's definitely an NFL guy, player, yeah.
Wide receiver. You could kind of tell they were just like, don't let him beat you deep. Like, they definitely were giving him, they were giving him a lot of respect, a lot of room, which surprised me a little bit. But I think especially when Travis isn't out there to just go one-on-one with these guys
and take a guy like, completely out of the game from one right, side of the field.
I think they're just playing more carefully. The other thing was, I felt like and I've rewatched the game, but it seemed like in the beginning, guys were just straight up open. Like, their tight end would just come across, he'd just be open. There's no one even in the picture when he catches the ball, that kind of thing. Whereas later in the game, when they had success, it kind of seemed like those guys were just like, it would be a missed tackle, like, or you could kind of see there was a few things with the linebackers where they wouldn't quite switch fast enough to make up the space to cover the guy coming across, like little miscommunication things. I think they altered the play calls. It was just like the execution wasn't totally there later on. And they did a couple of times. I mean, they stopped them a few times. So they started to figure it out. But yeah, it just seemed like they weren't making the tackles and they weren't, fully making the plays. I mean, the last touchdown that CSU scored in regulation, like, Cam was all over the guy.
I was going to bring that up.
All over him. And the guy caught the ball, like, at his shoes, you know? I mean, it was a great play. Just sometimes you just have to be like, well, all right, man, you know, you won that one. And it sucks that we just really desperately needed a stop at that point and couldn't get it. But, he was on him. He had him covered. He just somehow that ball made it into the receiver's hands and he was able to keep going into the end zone.
I've watched that play probably like five times over. And every time I'm like, oh, he's going to get it. And yeah, somehow it gets right under his hand.
I don't know how it happened. In the moment, I was like, oh, did he hit that on the ground? And then they're still running. And I was like, what? How did that happen?
You got to give credit to that number, I think is number 8 or something.
I forget, that tight end 5, but something like that.
Maybe it was 5, but yeah, yeah. That was just a great catch. There's no way around it.
Yeah.
I think you have that situation 10 times. I would say Cam wins that probably 7 out of 10 times.
Yeah, in that position that he was in, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think you really teach it better than that. I think you're just like, damn, I wish that had gone our way. I think that I'm trying to think what I want to say about this. I still think that our coaching staff is really good. So I'm concerned, but I'm not going to go as far as to say like we're going to have no chance of stopping it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure they're working it all week in practice because they know, like you said, that's what Oregon's going to do all game long. They're going to do that. So, I have faith, some faith that they'll be okay, but they just gotta execute.
I do think, I agree. I think our coaching staff is definitely good enough to see the errors and fix it. But then I'm like, okay, we're going up against a team that from what they've shown 3 games into the season, they will run RPO until your face falls off. And they, you know, we haven't proven really that we can stop the run at like before 5 yards, essentially. Like, the people are just chunking us for 5 yards.
I don't agree with that entirely. I think we've been pretty good for the most part against the run since TCU. I mean, TCU killed us, and yeah. Nebraska had one 57-yard quarterback fair. Draw, and then another long one in garbage time. But I think like the starting unit has been pretty good against the run for the most part. Oregon is going to be a different animal. I don't think we're quite ready to get into Oregon yet. There's still a lot more to talk about on this one, but Oregon will be a different animal.
That's fair.
Anything else negative you've got from the game?
Negative.
Us, them, otherwise.
This is not negative against CU, but I mean, we got to touch on it.
I don't want to say too much on it. It's been pretty beat to death, but sure, we can say a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I do want to say who. I mean, I don't think that it's any like rational CU fan doing this, but anybody that has sent alleged death threats, I don't know if I. Who knows if that's true, but that's not that, cool.
talk to any SEC person who's played in the SEC. Okay, talk to any of those guys. Yeah. I'm sure they've gotten death threats. I'm sure right. of it, because there are psychos out there in the world, but. There it's are. Not diminishing what this guy has gone through. I'm just saying, like, I'm sure it happened. You also had a dirty, dirty, dirty cheap shot on the second most famous college football player in the country.
Who's first?
I don't know what you were Shador, maybe.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Just going off of, like, NIL evaluation and,
right.
and followers, probably Shador. But like, yeah, I mean, he had a dirty ass hit on like one of the stars of college football. If someone did that to Caleb Williams, not that he would be in the position of a receiver, but had a hit right. like equally as dirty, it would also go over very poorly. Like,
I mean, hell, you know what I think is getting not enough attention because of this Travis Hunter thing is how egregious that hit by Kamara was on Shador.
Oh, God, I know, overtime. Man.
Yeah. That was egregious,
straight
too.
Up head-to-head and drove him into the ground when the ball was, like, already out of his hand. I don't even know what the number was, like 17 penalties for 100 and... like 80 something yards or something like that. That might be an exaggeration, but not by much. And a lot of them were unsportsmanlike conduct, unnecessary roughness, illegal blocks, like blindside blocks and chop blocks. Like,
okay, they were chop blocking. It seemed like every play, by the way.
Like it was, and I am not the type to be like, oh, it was dirty, or oh, it was legitimately dirty. Like,
yes,
it was bad. And I mean, I understand that this stuff goes both ways to a certain extent. Like, Shador did do whatever he did, where he looked like he was going for Kamara's face or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a good look either way. The dude was playing dirty all game long. I mean, between the hits he put on Shador. And he was on the ground like three different times with like cramps. When CU was driving with a tempo offense, like at some
point, only happened on the drives.
Yes, it only happened on the drives, and it only happened after they had like chunk plays. Yep. So, I don't know what to tell you. Like, he came back in every time, so he clearly wasn't injured, and he went down at like pretty opportune moments. You know, to like slow shit down. I mean, that was part of the game. It was so like clunky, and there was just no rhythm because there were penalties everywhere. And sorry, my dog is in the background. But hey, thank you. My God. Anyway, so. Yeah, basically, like, it was clunky. There were penalties everywhere. It wasn't a good flow of the game. No, and a lot of that is just because of the way that they were playing. Like, and Yeah, and it was a dirty, dirty hit on Travis, and it sucks that he's out for a few weeks now. The man played with a lacerated liver for like a quarter and a half.
That's, first of all, 3 weeks to me, a lacerated liver sounds like, oh, he's done for the year. Like just the way it sounds. Thankfully, it's not like.
It sounds really bad. It sounds really bad. Your liver does.
Chase is an EMT and firefighter, so he knows what he's talking about here.
I'm a paramedic and firefighter. Thank you very much.
Sure. I always get the paramedic and EMT mixed up.
And that does not make me a doctor, but I know some things. And your liver does heal itself pretty well. And having a laceration is just fancy medical term for cut. So like you can get a cut on your liver, like you can get a cut anywhere else on your body. So just it being a laceration doesn't necessarily mean it's like something horrific. The fact that he doesn't need surgery means it's probably minor as a lacerated liver could be, I would hope. But yeah, it sucks. It sucks for him. He had damaged one of his internal organs. Like that's nothing to be taken lightly, you know?
Right.
And it sucks that it was just like not even like a real play. Like he just lined him up and hit him after the ball had already hit the ground. Yeah, just not great. So that's all I got to say on it. I'm just over the whole thing. Fuck those guys. It was dirty as hell, and I'm glad it's over. I thought they won.
Yeah, I have to ask you, though, because I've seen a lot of people calling for it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if there is a way they should reschedule or they should basically remove CSU from the schedule next year and replace them with someone else?
So I think that it's hard. So I understand why people say there's essentially no benefit for CU in this
There
game.
Isn't.
That's true. Right. CSU has just not been good enough recently to where there's really any benefit to playing the game for us as far as like if we win, then we're supposed to win. And if we lose, then it's horrible. And it's like a totally season derailment, basically. Every year that I've been to CU, even in years where they've been horrible, like losing to CSU means like, oh, you suck. Okay.
Yeah. So that's bad.
And I know like there were guys on the internet. Who is it? I think it's Justin Michael is the DNVR Rams CSU guy.
That dude's a tool.
And he has been going to battle on the internet with people about like, oh, all these CU fans up on their high horse, like blah, 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 blah. I'm not up on my high horse. Okay. CU has been absolutely terrible in past years. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Mm-hmm. My thing is the point still stands. Okay. The point still stands. If we lose this game, it's awful. If we win, we're supposed to win. It does nothing for us. The only difference between that and playing any other random game with like a team of a similar caliber is that it's a rivalry game. Everyone's going to get up for it. And it kind of creates like some outside stuff that is different, which you could argue makes it more likely that you're going to slip up, you know? For me, like I don't really care either way. Like I would rather, if we have one rivalry game a year, I would rather it be Nebraska, personally. I just like that we play a Big Ten team that has been like a historic rival, and like that's a game with like meaning. I mean, you could see like it was a super, super important, super talked about game, like all of our games are now. But, you know,
per usual.
Like Nebraska, I feel like carries more weight to me personally.
I agree.
But either way, like you just have to beat everyone. So like if you're a team that's going to lose to CSU, then like you are that team, you know? So for me, it's just like, don't lose to them. We can play them. We cannot play them. Whatever. Don't lose to them. If they're going to be a trend of like a dirty ass team that does shit like they did on Saturday, then maybe we avoid them because of that. Because there's precedent of them like headhunting, basically. Yeah. But I just, you know, I have a hard time believing that it's always going to be like that. I mean, if you look at the lead up to this game, it was insane. Like the coverage and everything that was going on. And I'm sure those CSU guys the whole time were just like, this is stupid. This is stupid. This is stupid. Like no one is talking about us at all. They all think we're going to lose by a million points. Like there was a lot of pent up resentment there already. And I don't know that that will always be the case.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back if I could ever remember a game against CSU where I was like, wow, they played like really fucking dirty. And I don't think that I can think of one other than this one.
I don't think so either. Like we've had some pretty close games before. We had a game. I mean, I know there was a game where CU won on a walk-off field goal or something, and while we were there, I forget which year it was, but
yeah,
like there have been some close games with CSU, and I don't ever remember this being the story coming out of it ever. No. So,
yeah, I mean, the way I look at it is I don't think contractually we're going to be able to get out of that game.
No, I mean, we're going to play them next year. It is what it is. I guess my thing is like, I don't personally feel the need to schedule them every year, no matter what.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we do thankfully have like, what is like 5 or 7 year break after this?
I forget.
The claim is like 2028, maybe. I think it is 5 years. The way I look, I mean, even when people have been talking about canceling it and moving, I'm like, one, it's not going to happen. Sometimes I'm going to entertain it. The way I'm looking at it is the biggest weakness we have right now is our lines. And linebackers, I would say. That's another thing I was going to bring up is how they are not plugging holes on the running game. But we're going to come back next year, and I am very confident that Prime and staff are going to fill the lines.
Oh, they're going to put it on next year. Yeah,
and it's going to be like it's going to be like we're coming to like get back at you for what you did last year.
Yeah,
and hopefully it's not another one. Cause I mean, I thought they were going to put it on this year and they should have. I think we played that game 10 times. They probably put it on them 9 times out of 10, but I think it'll be fun next year to just watch them in their home stadium get absolutely mudholed. So that's what I've got to say about that.
I agree. I don't know. I feel like we've been going on this game a long time.
Yeah, let's scoot on to Oregon.
But just well, some
we gotta talk about the positives though.
Just some positive things. Shador is, I don't even know how to indescribable. Like they had a 98-yard game tying drive in the last 2 minutes of this game. Mm-hmm. And the drive before that where they had to settle for a field goal, unfortunately, he basically just put the team on his back. Like he was like, I'm just going to run it now. Like if I don't have it, I'm just taking off. And he engineered that like half of that drive by himself, basically. I don't even know what else to say other than like having him on our team. Just like, you just believe, like he got the ball and I was like, there's a chance we could actually pull this off.
You know? I was relatively calm. I was like, he's going to get us down the field. My thing was, I was like, I hate 2-point conversions. They make me so nervous.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I think we're going to score. I don't know if because it's red zone offense. I was like, I don't know if we're going to score on that 2-point conversion, but my God, that play call was a thing of beauty.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to keep us. The combination of him and Sean Lewis, I think, are probably going to keep us in some games that we have no business being in.
I think it'll keep us in every game. I don't see us getting blown out. Like, I guess a blowout to me is like more than 2 scores.
I mean, we've seen some blowouts in our time, let me tell you. A blowout is like every game they played last year.
Pretty much.
He was amazing. Like, I don't know what else to say about him. We already talked about Mikey Harrison a little bit. Super awesome to see him show out after staying from, you know, the switchover, moving from wide receiver to tight end. Like, he put in a lot to, of work to, like, be in that spot. So I appreciate that. And he made, like, some legitimately good, like, he was smart on pretty much all of those plays that he made where he was just finding the gaps and and making the plays. He was sure-handed. He was targeted 7 times. He caught all 7 of the passes. Like, you really couldn't have asked. You couldn't have asked for the performance that he gave. You definitely couldn't have asked for anything more, but he really showed up.
Yeah, and the crazy thing, too, is, obviously everyone's talking about Michael Harrison, but he didn't technically even have the best game as a receiver for CU because Zay Weaver, of course, went 9 for 98 with a TD. And there was, but the reason everyone's talking about Michael Harrison is because all 7, I think, of those catches came in the last quarter in overtime. I could be wrong on that, but
definitely close to it. Definitely. I think he might've had 1 in the third quarter, but yeah.
But it's just crazy that it seems like now 3 games in a row, there's so many different people that could go off on the offensive side of the ball. And that's why, like you said, we're going to be able to stay in games, is because there's just, unless we're playing like a Georgia or an Ohio State, or like not this year,
top tier.
Not this year, but a typical Alabama.
Yeah.
You don't have the guys to cover that many weapons. There's no way around it. And then you add in Dylan coming out of the backfield. We don't have McCaskill yet. It sounds like he's going to play this week. I mean, it's just like a never ending line of dudes that can just ball.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I feel good about the offense. I know they were slow in the first half. I think it was just a weird game. I mean, you had the pick six, which, like, CSU had gone on a bit of a drive, threw a pick six, and then went on another long drive and then scored. That's a long time to not have the ball.
Yeah.
And then you had the fumble recovery for a touchdown. Like, it was just a weird, penalties all over the place. Like, I think it was a weird game, and I don't think there will be in another game that feels that same way or goes that way.
I agree.
So I don't think, like, getting in a rhythm should be as much of an issue. And I do think with the Nebraska game, I still stand by what I said before of, I think that defense is legitimately good. And that's why I think it took them a little while to figure it out. Like, I think their defense is legitimately good. I'm not worried about the offense. I think that was pretty much everyone. We talked about Jimmy already. Credit to Jimmy Horn. Okay. I talked some shit to Brett about Jimmy. There was a moment in the third quarter when Coach Prime, they caught video of him walking up to Jimmy Horn, and, like, you could see him holding his shoulders and talking to him and saying something to the effect of, like, I need you to, like, it's going to be okay. Like, I need you for this game. And he gave him a hug and he told him he loved him. And then the rest of the game, Jimmy was fucking nails. So,
shocker.
Credit to him. Like, he made the play, especially towards the end of the game. Like, that was awesome. On defense, I want to point out a couple of people who I do think, like, the defense as a whole, they gave up 21 points in regulation. Okay. Mm-hmm. 7 of them, because 7 of their 28 came on a fumble, scoop and score. And then another 7 came on a trick play touchdown off of a long pass, which, like, that's on them. It's on them for sure, but that was a dime.
That was an absolute dime from Horton.
That was a dime.
Because Trevor Woods was, like, at this point.
Trevor Woods was pretty well on him, and he put that in the perfect spot. And it was a great catch to finish. I thought they actually, like, I know people are upset about the crossing routes, and I understand it. I thought they played overall fairly well. Like, we were talking about it during the game. They didn't give up the whole time. So, like, as a unit, like the defense or the offense was going nowhere for large portions of this game for reasons we already talked about, but they really stayed in it the whole time. Shiloh had a pick six and a forced fumble.
Missed tackle. He technically got the tackle, but I don't know how that dude went down from that hit because it was a glancing blow on the ball.
I think Shiloh in a lot of ways, like you see him, he's missed some tackles and he's gotten beat in coverage a couple of times on like slants and a few different things. The one thing I will say about him, and the coaches have talked about him a lot, he is studying constantly. Like he's apparently like a leader on the team. He's looking at film all the time. And I think that showed up on the pick six. You could see he fully knew that play. Like he had seen it. He didn't back up at all while Horton was starting to make his move. And as soon as Horton stopped short, he was like, oh, I've seen this before. This is where the ball is going to go. And he just fully committed and picked it off. So, yeah, credit to Shiloh on that. And credit to Trevor Woods for making like the same interception 3 weeks apart, basically, where he just runs over from out of nowhere and goes diving across to like grab a ball out of the air. But
did you see him punt it after that?
Yeah.
That was the best part about that. But no, you're right. As frustrating as the crossing routes were, we even said when we were texting each other that the offense needs to help them out at some point because they just weren't doing anything. And they were just basically leaving these guys on an island.
Yeah.
And to your point, to only give up 21 points in regulation when your offense is just your offense that is supposed to be this dominant, like can't be stopped machine. When your offense isn't showing up for you and you're only getting up 20 points in regulation, there's not a lot to be like super upset about.
Yeah, I thought overall they did okay. Juwan Mitchell had like 15 tackles in this game. Yeah. I do think he still struggles in some coverage spots. You could tell they were like taking him off the field on third down a lot of the time, it looked like. I think some of that, which is insane. He had 15 tackles and he wasn't on the field for like most of the third downs in this game, which is nuts. But I think some of the coverage stuff and learning like your zone responsibilities and all that stuff will come from more time. I mean, he's only been here for 2 weeks, literally. Like he wasn't with CU at spring. He wasn't with CU even for their like fall camp. He got here and then started like a week later. So I think he'll continue to improve. And then Cam Silman Craig, actually, I thought made some mistakes, but like he had an interception that was just a great play. And he continues to, I feel like, make big plays and be in the right place at the right time a lot.
Yeah. I'm curious what they're going to do. I think Slusher is supposed to be healthy this week. I could be wrong.
I have no idea.
I think Travis Jay is supposed to be healthy. I think Brendan Gant is supposed to be healthy. I think Brendan Gant coming back is huge because, like I mentioned, we kind of had some issues plugging the gaps at linebacker. So I think him coming back is huge.
I think Juju needs another guy. Like, yeah. I credit, like, Marvin Ham, again, another holdover, you know, utmost respect for that guy. But there were a couple of plays where, like, they ran an RPO with the quarterback and Juju was ready to murder the quarterback on the outside. And then no one was on the inside to stop the running back. And that was Marvin Ham's responsibility, but sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's a good point. Cause that's two people now. Cause now I'm like, when Slusher's back, you have to find a way to get Cam on the field because he, like you said, he's been making plays and maybe Gant is like the same as, when it comes to leading the defense as Ham is. But I mean, if you like, when you're watching games, it's probably harder to see on TV, but when you're watching games, Ham is directing traffic all over the place. He clearly, you know, regardless of his like skill level, his talent, he clearly knows what Charles Kelly wants.
Right.
Yeah. And what he wants the defense to do, because he is constantly telling people what to do, moving people around. So if Brendan Gant has that same grasp, then sure, that's fine. But I am slightly worried, like, okay, if you take Marvin Ham out, then who's going to be the leader of that defense?
So right. I think it would be Shiloh, probably.
Probably.
You'd have to say, yeah. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if they figure all that out. But that's pretty much all I got. I mean,
yeah. Let's move on
that game. I'm glad it's over.
Same.
Our receivers are still good. Shador is just fucking awesome. And
most clutch. Joel Klatt said it. The most clutch quarterback in college football.
I mean, he just insane. Awesome. They played like a ridiculously emotional and crazy game with like a lead up where Stephen A. Smith is telling you you're going to beat Colorado State's ass and like all this crazy stuff. And they still won. You know, they were resilient again. Like they hung in there and stayed alive and found a way to win. The last thing I wanted to point out. Alejandro Mata. Jace Feely made some good kicks earlier in the year. I feel like when Mata came in, I was like, oh, that's what it looks like to be comfortable. Like,
yeah, he doesn't, you know, he just looks like kind of like Vassett. He just kicks it like, I'm just here.
Yeah,
doing
right.
My thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
I know it's going to go fine.
The ball. Yeah. It's all good. You know, I mean, Coach Prime says he doesn't miss, like he's repeated that multiple times. And, you know, I get he doesn't have the leg, the distance that Feely does. But yeah, I think if you just have him be the first guy to go to, and then Feely maybe if you need to kick it a little farther, then fine. But he looks so comfortable. Like, he does. So comfortable.
I feel pretty confident that the offense can get him to his range, which I think I would bet his range probably caps around like 48.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Probably 40s. Yeah.
So I feel comfortable with the offense getting him there enough to the point where it makes sense to have him be the guy. And then, if it's going into half and, you know, we want to get a couple extra points, maybe throw Feely out there, let him kick one, because that dude looks like he's more jacked than anybody I've ever seen at the kicker position.
He can bomb it for sure. Yeah. But anyway,
on to
Oregon. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Oregon, I mentioned it earlier. We're going to see.
Sorry. One more thing. Okay. I don't mean that. One more thing. Jay Norvell. The whole build up to the week, I was like, you know, he said some stuff about sunglasses and hats, which was dumb, but whatever. He's like trying to create some sort of vibe for this game. And he said some, you know, whatever about his mom raised him a certain way. Personally, I was like, I don't think I don't know. I didn't get all up in arms about it. I thought it was fun how they were like, yeah, we're all going to wear sunglasses and hats now, whatever.
Yeah.
He, after the game, made some comments where he said it was like the most lopsided officiated game he's seen. So my last comment on this game is, Jay Norvell, you're a bitch. All right.
I'm a bitch.
You are a triple B. You are a baby back bitch. And your team played dirty as hell. And I'm sorry that they did some awful things that resulted in 170 yards of penalties or whatever it was, but it was all legit. So you can suck it. That's it. That was my last note I wanted to make on that game. On to Oregon.
On to the next coach that can absolutely fucking suck it.
Yeah.
Okay. And Lanning.
Yeah.
Who's also been kind of a little bitch about CU. He doesn't like what CU is doing, moving to Big 12 and whatnot. But no, man, Oregon, let's face it, they're a good football team.
Yes.
And Bo Nix is not the Bo Nix that we saw at Auburn. Mm-mm. He's not making boneheaded plays. He's not turning it over like crazy. Bo Nix is just flat out good.
Yes.
And guess what? He's a running quarterback. And not even the CU curse of not being able to stop a running quarterback. It's just hard in general to stop a running quarterback. And so let's all brace ourselves for the fact that he's going to get some 10, 15, 20 yard plays. And we're just going to have to live with it, because when you're running an RPO heavy option offense like they do, he makes the right decisions. He does. He's going to pull it a couple times and he's going to get something. And we got to just accept that. But does that mean we aren't going to be able to play with these guys? No. We've got Shedeur fucking Sanders at quarterback, and that alone is going to keep us in this game.
So I agree. Look, Bo Nix is great. He's a Heisman candidate. Like, he was on the preseason Heisman watch list, all that stuff. He was kind of up there at one point last year. I think he got hurt or something, so he kind of fell off. But he's been awesome at Oregon. They also returned their top three running backs from last year. They return their wide receiver. I forget his first name, but Franklin is his last name, and he's like their leading receiver this year. He's a legit guy. He's probably an NFL player. And you know, they're Oregon. Like, they're set up to be a very strong team every year, it seems like. Dan Lanning, as much as I don't really personally like the guy, he has had some success here early on. They're a strong team. Like, there's no way around it. Their offense is strong. They put up 81 points on a team earlier this year. Granted, it was an FCS team, but they put up 81 points on a team. Like, that's legit.
That's a lot of points.
They put up over 50 points on Hawaii. Again, not a strong team, but over 50 points is over 50 points, you know? They can score. So I think, like, if we want to play in this game, like, our defense is going to have to make some things happen. I think that no matter what, they're going to give up some yards. They're going to give up some points, but they're going to have to stay in it, you know, because there's a chance that, yeah, this could turn into a shootout real fast. Like you said, we have Shedeur Sanders, so I'm not totally counting us out of anything, but I think the only scenario where we win this game is it's a shootout. Pretty much. Like, I just don't see us slowing them down too much. I think they're gonna score some points, and it just kind of is what it is.
What's your biggest concern about their offense matching up with our defense? Because I actually think I might have a different thought on this than you.
My concern of their offense matching up on our defense. My biggest concern is that we don't get pressure on Bo Nix. That's my biggest concern. Their offensive line, they've had to replace some guys. They had a few people drafted last year. I want to say they lost two to the draft, and then another one was an undrafted free agent. So they've had to replace some guys, but they've graded out very well through three games. It's a strong offensive line. And even when Bo Nix has had his struggles, the times when he's been bad are essentially when he's gotten pressure right up his face, basically. And we haven't really been able to do that too much. Most of the times we've gotten pressure because, like, Taj Alston or Jordan Dominic have been coming from the outside. So it's going to be interesting to see. I'm just worried that Bo Nix is just going to have all day long. And eventually, I don't care how good, I don't care if we have Travis Hunter out there or not, which we won't. But
right.
I don't care how good your corners are. I don't care how good your safeties are. If he has 5 seconds to throw every time he drops back, like, he's going to start finding people. So that's what concerns me the most.
It's damn near impossible to cover somebody for 5 seconds plus.
Right.
If their quarterback just has all day to throw. I mean,
right. And he's mobile. So, like, that doesn't make it any easier.
Yeah. You could put Coach Prime out there in his prime.
Right.
And he would have trouble covering somebody for 7 seconds. Yes. Okay. Yes. It's just not very doable.
Yes. What's your concern?
I mean, I guess you did kind of nail it. I was going to say, because one, we don't have Travis Hunter. Yes. And I'm not knocking Amarion Cooper, but he did show some signs of weakness in this last game that I think, again, it just comes down to, did they do it? Do the coaches, and I know that this, the answer to this part is yes, but did the coaches coach how to stop these under routes? Yes. Will the players execute it? Who knows?
Yeah.
Because I know that Coach Kelly went over at a halftime and he said, and he knew he was in Alabama with Nick Saban. He knows how to stop this stuff. So he told them at half and they did not execute it. Yeah. Now, when you have 5 days to practice for it and scheme against it, yes, I think things are going to look better. But I guarantee we're going to get beat by them a couple times.
Yeah, it's going to happen. I mean, it's a concept that like every college offense runs now for a reason. You know, it's hard to cover. Like, it is what it is. But yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and that's why it goes kind of hand in hand with what you're saying. I just don't think we're going to get pressure. And Omarion Cooper, I don't think, is going to be able to guard somebody for 5 seconds. Not that Travis Hunter would necessarily be able to, but I think he'd still do a better job because he's just that good. And you mentioned it too. Shiloh can sometimes be a little bit of a liability in coverage.
Yeah.
But he also is. I mean, yeah, he's a film nerd. He's in there like studying it all the time. So he might, I think that's something he can improve upon as like the season goes on. But man, I'm worried about getting pressure on the quarterback. And then we haven't even touched on the fact that they've got three running backs all averaging over 7.4 yards a carry, which is nothing to scoff at. And it's not like they're busting out like such long runs that they have these averages for a reason. I mean, yes, they've got Bucky Irving's got a 56 yard long, and Noah Whittingham's got a 41, but they're still, I mean, even if you take those out, they're still over 6 yards a carry on the ground, which it makes it tough when you can't get pressure on the quarterback and you know that you're going to get chunk yards on the ground. It makes it really tough for a defense. And so I don't think we can't stack the box against these guys because Bo Nix is good enough that he will pick you apart if you do something like that.
I think what CU fans should be ready for is we're going to sit back and we're going to let them make 5 yard plays. Basically, we're going to sit back. We're going to not get beat deep. We're going to not give up big plays. That's going to be the goal. I think this is what the goal is going to be. Don't give up big plays. Yes. Don't give up big plays. And Oregon is good at executing in the red zone. So like it kind of just is what it is, but I think they're just going to try to not give up big plays and basically just, yeah, like we're going to, there will be completions and there will be positive plays for Oregon. I wouldn't be surprised if they have a lot of them and the goal of the defense is to slow them down. I would love to see our defense step up and look exceptional against this offense. I just think, I think Coach Kelly is smart enough to know that, like, if he just tries to go out there and be like, we're going to play man all over the field and we're going to go head to head with these guys, like, it's not going to go well, you know? So, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a couple of different things that they try to slow him down. The one thing I'll say about Bucky Irving, when they played Portland State, he had 4 carries for 119 yards. So, that will raise that your average. Yeah. He had a 56 yard long, but like that's a game. If we could let someone go 4 carries for over 100 yards, we're in trouble anyway. So,
right. Yeah.
But yeah, no, look, they're a good team, man. They are. They're a good team. I think the only real question marks they have are that I've seen people talk about are their defensive backs and their linebackers, which in reality, I guess theoretically, it could match up well with us because, like we already talked about, we have Shedeur Sanders, we have good wide receivers, so we have the talent to attack DBs and linebackers who aren't great in coverage. But
yeah,
the problem will be, can Shedeur have enough time to make those plays? So we'll see, man. We'll see.
Is this defensive line better than Nebraska's?
Yes, right. Yeah. Are they better than Nebraska's? If they are better than Nebraska, like, are they going to, like, I don't know. didn't seem like from watching them, I don't think they blitz that much. So like, it'll be interesting to see if we can handle them when they only rush 3-4, you know, but yeah. Which I hope so, but yeah.
They were getting some solid pressure against Tyler Shuck last weekend with 3-4 man rush.
Yes, yes, yes. So look, they're a good team. Clearly, I mean, they're number 10. Like, that doesn't happen by accident. And they've scored a ton of points, and they've had a lot of guys on their offense grade out super well. And I wouldn't take them lightly. I mean, they're 3-touchdown favorites for a reason, you know. So they're very strong. And yeah, their question marks are essentially their defensive backs and their linebackers, because they did lose, like, Christian Gonzalez was a first round pick, right?
I think so.
At corner last year for them. So I don't know. He's playing for the Patriots. He's a starter for the Patriots, which, like, if you're a defensive player and you start on the Patriots, you're legit. Okay. So
yeah.
They lost him in their secondary, and that definitely hurt him. I know I think a lot of people are writing this will be a good test for their secondary to see, like, how Shador and Zay Weaver and Jimmy Horn and Tarvaris Dawson and those guys, to see how they match up.
Don't forget Mikey.
And Mikey Harrison, of course, the legend.
Yeah, no.
I do. I think it'll be interesting, because I know, like, the announcers, I know you were at the game, but on TV, the announcers were saying at certain points, like, the middle of the field is open, which they did end up, they started to attack it a little bit, where Shador was just like, all right, I'm going to throw it to Mike, the freaking walk-on tight end that we have, and he came through. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if maybe he, like, trusts him more now to make those plays or what. But
right. No, I think you're right. Where they're susceptible is where we're elite, and it just kind of comes down to how well are they going to scheme to take away the quick ball? And if they don't scheme it well, then yes, we can absolutely run up and down the field with these guys. Cause I think it's going to be a shootout, most likely. I didn't see what the over was set at. Was it set, or maybe at 71? 70
ish. Yeah. Okay. 70 something, low 70s.
And I think I want to take it, but
yeah, potentially.
But yeah, I mean, I don't have too many thoughts on Oregon outside of that. I don't know if you have anything else that you want to get into the prediction.
I mean, all I would say is their defense did have a lot of turnover. They lost a starter from essentially, like, every position group due to either graduation, transfer, or the NFL draft. So they do have a lot of new parts. I mean, they are Oregon, so they're replacing those with essentially, like, 4 stars typically. So, like, they have talent. That's our biggest gap right now, is talent level, in terms of, like, actual athletic ability. So we'll see if we can take advantage of the newness of their defense. This is Bo Nix's, like, fourth different offensive coordinator. It's the first year with a new OC. So, you know, we'll see how their offense looks. I mean, look, man, they're good, but we can get into predictions on the game if you want.
Yeah, I think I'm good to go. I'll let you go ahead and start that one off.
You want me to start? Okay. Give me a second. I gotta take a sip of this bourbon before I say this. Okay. We're gonna beat these motherfuckers.
Oh yes, I love it.
Now, if my wife is listening to this, she's probably thinking to herself, oh no. We're going to beat them, okay? And I get everything we already talked about. We gave them all their flowers, right? They are a great offense. That is true. They have looked incredible, okay? We, on the other hand, in our last game, did not look incredible. We have had, and I'm going to go for a little bit here, so I apologize ahead of time, but our last game, we did not look good. So there are a couple of things here that I'm going to talk about. Number one, Oregon's schedule so far, they've looked exceptional. They have beaten Portland State, Hawaii, and Texas Tech. Portland State is a team that is in the bottom half of the Big Sky Conference, which is in the FCS. So beating them means essentially nothing. They beat them at home. They paid that team to be there. They beat the brakes off of them, absolutely, but really, truly does not mean anything. Hawaii is one of the worst teams in FBS. They lost to Stanford in Hawaii, which you're factoring in travel. You're factoring in the fact that Hawaii actually typically beats people at home. They lost to Stanford in Hawaii. Stanford just lost to FCS Sacramento State. Okay. Stanford is not a good team. Hawaii lost to them, and that's one of the teams that Oregon has beaten. The third team that Oregon played that they beat is Texas Tech, and they were legitimately lucky to escape with a win. Okay. So essentially, if you're talking about real games against real competition, they have one, they have a sample size of one, and it's Texas Tech. Okay. It's a tough road environment. I'm not trying to take that away from them. It's not like a gimme game. Okay. That said, Texas Tech is a team that lost to Wyoming. All right. So I think we have some idea of like what this team is actually capable of. Oregon barely beat them. They gave up 450 yards. They were not able to run the ball well. They averaged 3.6 yards per carry. Not able to run the ball well. Most of that was on Bo Nix scrambles, which, by the way, he did not have a lot of designed runs, so they seem to be avoiding that just because they're afraid that he's going to get hurt or something. They won the turnover battle 4-0, which does not happen very often. 4-0. They won by 8 points, and it was only because they got a pick six on the last drive to seal it. They had 14 penalties for 124 yards. All right. And they were down 27-18 at the start of the fourth quarter. So now, all that is to say, we just had a very similar game against CSU. So, like, people could be listening to this and being like, well, you just played like shit against CSU. Totally understand it. What I'm saying is everyone is acting like they know what Oregon is, and I'm just not confident that we do. I don't think we know that Oregon is the number 10 team in the country. I think they've played two teams that are absolute dog shit, and they beat them up, which is that's what you should do when you play those teams. They played one team that's decent, and they struggled. So, like, that to me is just, I don't know if I would say it rubs me the wrong way, but I just think that that's a big oversight for a lot of people. They think that Oregon is this great team, and in reality, they're a team that was down 27-18 to Texas Tech at the start of the fourth quarter and got lucky to get out of there with a win. Second point, or I don't even know what I'm on at this point, but the next point that I was going to make, we're getting a lot of people back potentially on Saturday. Alton McCaskill is one. Travis Jay is one. I know you talked about Gant could potentially be another one. Jaquez Robinson is another one. He's a defensive back. Javon Antonio, I saw in the well-off videos today, had his gold jersey off, so he could very well be back. I did see for a brief moment in the Reefs of People video, I thought I saw Van Wells kneeling down, not in a gold jersey, just in a practice jersey. So, like, I'm hoping that they just let him sit for CSU, basically, because they were like, we should beat the brakes off this team. So you're good. If he's back, that would make a huge difference. And to be honest, like, we could get all those people back. I still believe it's a well-coached team, CU is. And they'll be playing without all the insane, like, emotional undertones and outside noise and all this craziness that they had all of last week. They were, like, the first story on every major website. They had The Rock on ESPN talking about them. Like, eventually, I understand that Coach Prime says, like, oh, we keep them all focused and whatever.
Yeah.
If you're 20 years old and Little Wayne is walking you out of the tunnel and giving you a, like, a opening song, like, yeah, you're going to think you're the shit. Okay. Yeah. So now they played a tough game against a team that shouldn't have been a tough game. They can be refocused a little bit. They can be remotivated a little bit. They're back to being the underdogs. And yeah, and the last point I want to make is that we have Shedeur Sanders and Tyler Shuck put up 30 on this Oregon defense. And I think Shedeur has the potential to keep us in every game. And that combined with hopefully Alton is back. I mean, I know Coach Prime said he didn't want him back until Alton is Alton, right? That was the whole thing. He was like, he's 90% of the way there, but I just want to make sure he's 100% back to being the elite player that he is. So if he's back, he's back. Yep. He's going to go out there. He's going to make a difference. If Van Wells is back, he's going to make a huge difference. And yeah, I like us to win this game. And I think it's going to be in the TCU vein, like 49-45 or something crazy like that. But that's what I'm going to say. And next week when I'm staring at your face on a freaking Google Meet screen and we got blown the fuck out, I will admit that I have gone too far, but I just am telling you, I don't think this is the game that like everyone seems to think it's going to be. Everyone seems to think it's going to be this blowout and we have no chance. And this is where the story ends, so to speak, or whatever. And I just don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the case because, first of all, we won one game last year, and it's already a success, okay? Yeah. We're 3-0. It's already a success. So just shut up with all that stuff. And the last thing is, yeah, I just think we have more of a chance that people are giving us credit for here. And I would not be surprised if we go in there and shock some people big time, because it's gonna. We were missing a lot of people last week, and I didn't realize it until I looked. But yeah, I think it's gonna be surprising for a lot of people. All right, tell me why I'm wrong, Brett. Go ahead, say it. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm insane.
I have a few things. First mm-hmm. of all, I also didn't realize how many people were missing until you listed them off.
Yes,
that's crazy. We were missing a lot of dudes.
Yes, we were.
And I'm not saying that if all those guys.
Oh, played, Carter Stoutmeyer too. I didn't even mention him. He was out. Sounds like he's potentially going to be back based on what Coach Prime said. Sorry.
So, I didn't even account for that. And I don't think that those guys all being back means that we like beat CSU the way we should have. But
no, not necessarily. But we were playing with our essentially fourth string DB on one side of the field because Carter was out. So. And Travis obviously was out. And when Travis was playing, he had a lacerated liver. I can't say that enough times. Like, that's an insane thing to play with. But anyway,
he is a hoss, that's for sure. You know, and I don't know how I forgot, but I forgot about Javon Antonio. Mm-hmm. And I think against a weak secondary, that's somebody you got to look to and be like, he's just going to dunk on these kids.
He's huge, also. Yes.
He is huge.
Physically massive. Yes.
So, man, I was out here. I was ready. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go for it and say that we're probably not going to win this game. But you got me hyped up. That was a coach. not Coach Prime level. I can't give you that, but that was a coach.
No one is Coach Prime level.
A coach level hype speech. And I'm going to roll with you. I'm saying 56, 49 Buffs.
There you go. All right. So that's it. That settles it then. They're going to win.
I'm not ready. I'm not ready for CU to lose yet. I'm not ready for it emotionally or physically.
And look, I want to reiterate. If they go out, like, Austin is just a horrible place to play. It's notoriously difficult to perform well against Oregon when they're at Oregon. I will point out in 2016, no one thought we were going to win that game.
When was the last time we went to Autzen?
So I'll throw that out there. But if what the nation expects to happen happens, like I said already, I'm okay. They have done so much better than anyone could have truly anticipated to win three games. Their over under is 3.5. Okay. So like, I'm good. If they don't win, I'm good. I'm just saying there is just this part of me that I could not ignore that thinks that they're going to win this game. And a chunk of it might just be, you know, my black and gold colored glasses, but I just, like, I think people will want to talk about, like, oh, they're going to get pressure. They're going to get pressure. They're going to get pressure. Guess who else got pressure on us? Every fucking team we've played. Okay. Every team. And Shador, it doesn't matter. Like, yeah, he's going to get sacked. Guess what else he's going to do? He's going to throw for damn near 400 yards and multiple touchdowns, and he's going to win the game. That's happened every single time so far. I mean, he got sacked 7 times against Nebraska. And I know I went over that, and like half of it, you know, half of it's him, half of it's the line, whatever. He got sacked 7 times. If you get sacked 7 times and you still find a way to put up 30 plus points on a team, then it, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. If Alton comes back and he can give them some semblance of a consistent running game, the combination of him and Dylan, then teams will not be able to just tee off on Shador like they can normally, because normally they're like, they're going to pass it 80% of the time. So I'm just going to assume they're going to pass when they rush.
Yeah.
If Alton can make them dangerous in that respect, then as far as I'm concerned, this game is much more of a toss up than anyone else has considered. And even if he can't, we have won 3 games without being able to run the ball. So as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter until you prove to me that it matters. Okay. So yeah, no, I'm on the Buffs, and am I going to be wrong? Maybe, but I can't shake the fact that I'm on the Buffs. I feel like they're going to win. I'm sorry. I know it sounds insane, but it is what it is.
That was inspiring. I'm going to DraftKings right now. I'm laying those points.
Okay, well, don't put your money on it because I'm going to feel bad. But yeah, look, I just don't think the gap is as big as everyone thinks it is. And to be honest, part of this probably too is that I think Dan Lanning is pretty whatever as a coach. So, I don't like him very much. So we'll just continue this proving that people are frauds tour as far as between him and Matt Rhule.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm excited now, and I'm ready for Saturday. Also, we apologize. We know we normally are releasing on Wednesdays, so we had to move schedules around.
Oh yeah, that's my fault. But I think it's worth it that we were able to sit an extra day, because I was able to watch another video and see who does not appear injured. So there's at least that as a good aspect. So yeah.
Awesome. Well, as always, thank you all for tuning in. Follow us at on the Twitter, follow us the podcast, whatever app you're in. As always,
send a question in if you want us to ask. Give us a 5-star review. Like I said last week, I don't care what you actually think. If you just give us a 5-star review, it does help. And then if you want to say what your real feelings are, just put them in there. Just put them in the comment, you know, and I'll look at it. And
We'll
if it's funny, you know, maybe we'll talk about it. I don't know. But yeah, anyway, go ahead.
Thanks for listening, guys. And as always, go Buffs.
Let's go Buffs, baby.